Welcome to this breaking news edition of the MMA After Hour. It is Wednesday, May 9th, and we are honored to be joined by the UFC Bantamweight Champion, Dominic Cruz. And Dominic, first off, thank you very much for the time. Obviously, a very difficult week for you. We heard the news on Monday that you tore your ACL. You will be unable to fight Uriah Faber at UFC 148. First and foremost, let us know how you're doing and how you injured yourself.
I'm doing okay. Right now, I'm pretty bummed out, naturally. But right now, all I'm doing is I'm still trying to just stay mentally stable by doing as much push-ups and pull-ups as possible, just trying to eat my sweat doing that. And really, all I'm doing is coaching these guys on top. That's all I really have time for. And just trying to get everything scheduled to get the surgery going and whatnot.
How did you injure yourself?
I was training... Yeah, I was in training camp, and I got done with Tough, and I usually get done around 11. I got to practice at 11:30, and I was sparring that day with kickboxing with takedowns, and a guy got behind me at one point in a scramble, and he just, like, it went for a trip, and the trip, his hips went in on my knee, and it just buckled my knee right then and there. I sat out the rest of the round. Threw some ice on my knee. It's pretty painful, and I was just kind of hoping for the best, to be honest. I was just hoping and praying that it was nothing crazy, because it was a very, very loud pop. And I kind of went into denial mode the rest of that day. I was like, oh, I'm fine, and I just rested it and iced it. Took some ibuprofen, and that night I went in to try to get my normal workout in, and I go to move around and get my shadow boxing going to warm up, and my knee just pops right out, and I just know right then and there that I need to go get an MRI and get this checked out, because my knee wasn't stable. It kind of felt like I was walking on ice. And I went to the doctor, got an MRI, got everything done that day, and got the bad results, got the bad news. And I was, you know, naturally, everything in your mind kind of just, like, you can't even understand it. Like, it doesn't make sense. My mind, in my brain, it didn't make sense. Like, it didn't calculate. I'm sitting there thinking, you know what? There's no way it's done. I've transplanted my camp out here to Vegas. I've you know, pretty much sacrificed everything in my life just to be 100% on dial for this fight with Faber coming up. And to all of a sudden just say, oh, just kidding, you're not fighting anymore. It's like, my mind just kind of had a hard time accepting it, and I'm still trying to make the adjustments. But, you know, it's a harsh reality, and it's part of the sport. And, you know, through all this, it's gonna challenge my, my heart. It's gonna challenge my mind. It's gonna challenge a lot of things in my life. And I gotta, you know, it's gonna make me stronger through this situation. So now, I have to. It's the only thing that can happen. So. Going to be interesting.
When did the injury happen?
I happened last week.
Last week, and then when did you find out that you would officially, you know, have to be sidelined, and that it was a torn ACL? When did you get that diagnosis?
I got that diagnosis. You know, the doctor called me on Sunday, and by Monday it was already pretty out there.
Right, and just to be clear, the guy who injured you, and I'm sure you probably don't want to mention his name, this wasn't someone that you were sparring with at the time. It was someone else doing something else, and he kind of bumped into you. Is that accurate?
No, it was the guy that I was sparring with.
Okay.
I was sparring with him. He's from my camp. I've been in training camp with him. It was just an accident that happened. You know, in fighting, the whole purpose of the sport is to hurt one another.
Right.
So it's only a matter of time before something bad happens. You know, you try to be as careful as possible, but you are live kickboxing with takedowns, things happen. So, yeah, buckle my knee. The guy that I was sparring with, you know, got behind me to win the situation, and that's how it went down.
Is this your right knee or your left knee?
It's my left knee.
Okay.
And, you know, just to confirm any rumors, absolutely, you know, I have a lot of respect for the things that Ronda Rousey has done before. You know, she's a good champion. She's a good competitor. You know, to be an Olympic bronze medalist is very impressive, and that's something that there's definitely things that can be future, I'd love to get to work out and learn some things in Rhonda. But really, all that happened, I brought her on the show to show my guy some of the things she knows about judo. And that was it. So just to kind of shut down some rumors that Favorite thinks it's funny to start. And make jokes about, you know, Olympic bronze medalist and her taking out my knee. And to me, it's not really funny. It's just another way to know for the world to understand why me and Saber don't get along. and so that kind of shut that down.
So you weren't even training with her when this happened, right? That was a complete joke on his part?
100%. And I wasn't training with her at all, to be honest. I brought her in to help my team on top. I thought that she could show stuff to these guys that would really benefit him. And I also wanted them to see the intensity of another world champion. You know, I'm a world champion, and I have a different kind of intensity that I go into my training camps with, that I train myself, and I train all these guys. And to see a person like Rhonda come in, and they got to see the intensity at which she trains, at which she teaches, it kind of dials right into the way that I'm trying to get these guys ready for the UFC. So I thought it would be a great benefit to bring her in and for them to see that, and I think that it did. So even though Faber thinks it's funny that I brought a female into top, you know, she's done her work, and you know, I admire the things she's done for so far.
You know, I was going to ask you about this a little later on, but since you bring it up now, I'll ask about it now. Do you feel? I mean, obviously, you have you know, a long history with Uriah, and there's been a lot of talk back and forth. But when he tweeted that, you know, just an hour or so after the news broke, this is your health that we're talking about here. Do you feel as though he crossed the line to make a joke like that?
Well, you know, he did say, he doesn't wish that injury on anybody. And I believe that. Nobody wants an injury like this to happen. I wouldn't wish it on anybody either. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, I somewhat have to apologize, not just to my fans out there, but to, you know, to Faber for this situation taking place. I don't think that he helped or it was out of my hands, but, you know, it's frustrating for him as well, so I can understand that. But at the same time, start making jokes, saying that he's sad about it, with, you know, start rumors about Ronda Rousey, you know, busting my knee. I'm putting questions on her that aren't necessary. Putting questions on me that aren't necessary with this injury already being enough. So, yeah, he's definitely being very Faber-esque in that situation, I should say.
Have they told you when the surgery will take place?
No, I haven't discussed that yet. I'm actually going to talk to Dana a little bit, probably today. And get the situation, get the scoop on everything that's going on, exactly. I mean, I know that I'm still going to be coaching, but I'd like to just sit down and have a discussion with him about the situation and everything that's going on, and then I'll be able to have more in the future.
Do you have any sort of idea? I know it's very fresh, but do you have any sort of idea how long you'll be sidelined for?
You know, I always think positive. You know, it's something that's very natural to me, and I want to keep that going. So, you know, I've been out 8 months so far with the title. I fought Demetrius in October, and I was supposed to fight in July. So now I would say it'd probably be about another 4 to 6 months.
Really, that's
looking good. And that's very optimistic.
That's very optimistic. I would say just from other athletes, top-level athletes, not to be sort of a negative Nancy, but have you met anyone or talked to anyone that has been able to return from that kind of an injury that quickly?
You know, I'm not talking about going full on. I'm not talking about being 100% like ready to spar and fight in 4 to 6 months. I want to be back training within 4 to 6 months where I can start to get back on the path of going in there and beating or winning, you know, the title.
How have you dealt with this mentally? I can't even imagine for an athlete to get injured, and not just that. I mean, you've talked about being a coach on Tough for a long time and the opportunity that you've received on FX, the grudge match. Can you go back to the moment when you found out that you would not be able to fight Uriah and how you dealt with that mentally?
You know, it's actually devastating. Like, all you can do is everything I've worked for up to this point point. I've never pulled out of a fight. You know, everything I've worked for up to this point was it was sitting right in front of me. It's not only this fight, but it's this opportunity on top. And, you know, every single time, I would have to say the hardest thing about the whole situation right now is every single time somebody asks, or every single time you have to tell somebody, you see the letdown on their face. Just over and over, like, oh, everybody's just like so bummed to hear that your ACL torn. It's like, no. And it's like, just, that's probably the biggest wear, is just the disappointment that it is to other people around me, to my fans, people that were looking forward to me going in there and beating the crap out of Sabre, including myself. It's devastating, you know? It's terrible. It's not fun to deal with. And it's a big mind play. And in my opinion, God has put me in this position because I need to learn something else. I obviously train hard. There's got to be something I'm missing that I'm supposed to be dialing in on that I couldn't do with my body being 100%. Now that I have so much time to think, so much time to work on other things, you know, I really believe that I'm going to focus on my mind and just making it as strong as possible through this situation. You know, challenges that happen to people, they have to happen so that when you're trying to share those tough times with others, you have something that you've lived yourself. So this tough time that I'm going through, later on in my life, I'm going to be able to share with other people and help them through similar tough situations they're going through. And I got to just try to stay as positive as possible, to be honest.
You know, the last time something like this happened, Tito Ortiz got injured on the season of The Ultimate Fighter when he was coaching opposite Chuck Liddell. And they essentially told him to leave the show, and they replaced him with Rich Franklin. Are you surprised that they're keeping you on the show as a coach, even though you won't be able to fight Uriah?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little surprised, but I wasn't expecting anything. I wasn't expecting to have to go. I wasn't expecting to get the option or, you know, gifted the option to stay and coach these guys. All I could do was leave it in contest, to be honest, and just let him deal with it because there's nothing I could do. There's nothing I could do. All I could do is try to prepare for it and deal with it one step at a time with my knee. But, you know, I was hoping that I could get to work with these guys just because, you know, we've already built, you know, a relationship as coach, trainer. You know, I'm sure in the future we'll be training partners, all these guys. I'm going to bring them out to Alliance anytime they want. And there's something that we've built over this time to get them through this competition that I think it would kind of hurt the fighters a little bit if my coach, not just me, but my coaching staff was shifted from them. So I guess it's just a good thing. I got to definitely thank Dana for allowing me to stay in this situation. And, now these guys get it. You know, I'm still going to be here for them to coach them and help them out so that they're going to get 100% of me for sure. So hopefully it pays off at the end and these guys do well on the Ultimate Fighter.
Just a couple more things before we let you go, and we really appreciate the time and the candor. Dana White announced on Tuesday on Fuel TV that they will have an interim title fight at UFC 148, Uriah versus an opponent to be announced. How does that make you feel? Now, obviously, it's not the real belt, but on July 7th, someone else will be called Bantamweight Champion. Does that bug you?
Well, I mean, it's never a fun situation when your belt is being split, in a sense. You know, that's never fun. The good thing is I know the truth, and so will anybody who gets that interim belt if they haven't fought the real champ, period. So as much as, you know, they're basically anybody who fights for that belt is the number one contender. So that's fine with me. It is what it is. I will be ready to fight in the future. I'm 100% positive. I mean, this is a challenge, and it's challenging my mind, it's challenging myself, so I know I'll be able to come back a stronger fighter from it, and I just have to fight me for the belt, for the real belt, so it's no big deal, it sucks, it's out of my hands, I can't control it, so I can't let it eat at me too much, because there's nothing I think to be done about it right now.
Do you have any take on who you'd like to see Uriah fight for that belt? Who do you think deserves it most? Names like Henan Barao, Michael McDonald have been thrown around. Do you have a take on that?
Well, the only person that those names are thrown around by really is Sabre.
Right.
And create a ranking system for himself. And he says, oh, well, you know, Henry Burrell is number one, and Jason McDonald is number two, and, you know, so-and-so is number two. Like, who the hell are you to say who's where, first of all? That's why we have matchmakers in the UFC. So, personally, I don't really care who he thinks he's lobbying for or who he's asking for. It doesn't matter. Just be quiet, let the matchmakers make the matches, and you do your job and you get ready for a fight. That's my opinion on the matter, because as a champion, I've never asked for, lobbied for, or picked a fight in my life. The only one I'm going to ask for and lobby for ever in my career is going to be Uriah Faber after I get done with this recovery, and that's the only fight I'm going to want. So hopefully, you know, he wins, actually. That way he's the one I can beat up when I get healed up.
Okay, and final thing, Dominic, you know, we've seen a lot of injuries. GSP had a similar injury. We've seen a lot of injuries over the last few years in MMA, and people starting to compare MMA injuries to boxing injuries. And it's a little different, obviously, because in boxing you're only really using two weapons, your hands. In MMA, you're putting your body on the line every time you train. How can we in MMA, and more specifically you, the fighter, avoid these kind of injuries? Or can you not avoid these kind of injuries because you guys are going so hard in training and you're using so many of your weapons, your body, your legs, your arms, you know, your knees, your feet. I mean, everything is sort of out there on the line every time you train. Is that just part of the sport, or do you think guys need to go a little slower in practice? Have you had any time to sort of wrap your head around all of that?
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, and to be honest, I'm doing everything I can not to have these accidents happen. Really, I've had a lot of problems with my hands, but, you know, when you throw in a ton of punches, that happens. Even a hammer has chips taken out of it through the end of its lifetime. You know, so if that's going to have to steal, eventually your hands are going to fall apart and your body. And, you know, that's new to this game. It's one of those things you got to get everything you can out of your body while you're in this sport. Give it everything you have. So, in my opinion, the best thing you can do is have the right training partners around you that aren't going to go for goofy things, goofy trips, weird, like, takedowns or throwing spinning kicks. The only thing, in my opinion, you can do is just pick your training partners very, very smart. And even the guy that I was going with is one of my best training partners, and it still happened. I've never had any issues, and it's definitely part of this sport, and there's only so much you can do. You just need to take good care of your body, ice everything, have good training partners around, and really, it's all left to chance, in my opinion.
All right, well, Dominic, again, thank you so much. Very sorry to hear the news, but I know you'll come back stronger. On behalf of the MMA community, you know, we just wish you nothing but the best and a healthy and successful road back, and congratulations on a job well done also on Tough Live. I think you've really shown yourself to be a great coach and a great ambassador for the sport. So, again, thank you, and good luck this year as you recover and get back to the UFC.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I want to thank, you know, Famous Stars and Straps, Monster Energy, Lot of Floor for, you know, giving me, you know, the things I need to be able to get through this time. And, you know, most of all, I want to thank the fans because they were just so into it for this fight. And they've been nothing but supportive for me through this tough time that I'm going through. And I guarantee I'm coming back stronger than ever for all the fans out there. Thank you so much for the love and support. I appreciate it.